This podcast is intended for investment professionals. Hello, and welcome to Elgium Talks. I'm your host, Mark Chappell. Anyone who has ever worked in a team knows the value of a strong culture. As company value becomes increasingly intangible, it is the collective knowledge, skills, and experiences of the workforce that typically drives innovation. And a corporate culture that is genuinely inclusive can be the defining success factor of a business strategy. But how can we as investors define, identify, and measure the culture of companies? Joining us this week is Claire Payne, Head of Corporate Governance North America here at Legal & General Investment Management. Claire, thanks so much for coming back on the podcast.
It's great to be here again, Mark.
And it's great to have you. Now, culture, what is culture? It sounds like an easy question, but I'm sure it's actually really difficult. So what is culture?
Yeah, I think that's the first of many difficult questions that I think we'll probably tackle today looking at culture. Because culture can mean very different things to different people. But the way we look at it is essentially it's shared values and assumptions. So really, when you're thinking of culture within a business, it's sort of how we do things around here.
Yep.
So that's kind of quite a broad definition. But, you know, you can't start to go into and dig into culture until you have a kind of, you know, a definition set out.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think cultural fit is such an important part, and it's something that's intangible and that we've got a really strong culture here at X business. And I think that's such an important thing. And it kind of comes back to those values of like, what is it that you're really prioritizing? I think that's a really interesting kind of way of looking at it, of what is it that's, what are the behaviors and principles that are most important?
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, culture does completely go down to values, but how do you assess values of a business? You can assess values of an individual, and actually something that I think is a great way of thinking about it is if you look at my credit card statement and diary, you're probably going to see what is of value to me. And it's the same in an organisation.
Yeah.
You know, you'll look at an organisation, see how they spend limited resources, and often those limited resources are around time and money. And that will actually then project out what they see as their values. So it's actually looking at how they spend their time, how they spend their money, and that will then you will then start to see values coming out through that.
It's very much kind of where is the money where the mouth is? And that's kind of, are they really kind of promoting the same things that they tell investors, to perhaps through their annual report, that they really are trying to promote?
Yeah, it's exactly that. It's basically aligning your walk with your talk.
Yeah.
And I think this is why culture is so difficult, because there's no sort of defined way of you measuring those two things. So, you know, when we're looking at the talk, we're looking at the public disclosures that a company may make. Often for teams like us, our ESG team at Elgium, you know, we speak to directors, board directors of companies. Yep. So it's actually those interactions that will tell us, you know, quite a lot about a company in terms of what they're saying to us, as well as the public disclosures. But then, you know, you want that to be aligned. You want that rhetoric to be aligned with what the company is actually doing in terms of actions. And if those two are not aligned, it's fairly clear that the culture they're professing they have is not actually playing out in practice.
So I think you really kind of outlined what it is that we're looking for. We're looking for those behaviours and principles and values. But what is it that we look for as investors? And why is it so important to investors? And why is it so important to businesses themselves?
I think culture is really important to investors and should be important to businesses, because essentially, you know, employees want to stay at a company where they fit with the culture, but also can live that culture. So, you know, you're not going to maybe get the best talent if you don't have a positive or strong culture that is consistent, I think. And certainly, you know, there's been research out recently that shows that investors now are looking at culture as, you know, a key pinpoint in terms of valuing a company. I think a third of investors now look at this as a clear indicator for, you know, evaluation of a company.
Oh, completely.
So it's, you know, it's going beyond kind of just a financial valuation, but the culture is now being sort of woven into the ESG valuation. Because, you know, a company that has a great culture or a positive culture is going to want to, you know, people are going to want a partner to work with that company. People are going to want to, you know, invest in that company. So I think if boards are not looking at this as an indicator that investors are looking at, yep. then they're missing really quite an important factor.
And I imagine that as a business, if you've got a strong culture, you can just weather so much more of because no business is static. You're always going to go through mergers, demergers, expanding into new markets. And in my experience, a strong culture really is what makes or breaks the success of those, because it helps keep people and the cohesive nature of the team together.
Yeah, I mean, culture and strategy are not mutually exclusive concepts. Mm. So I think the strategy of a business will be embedded, in the culture. The two have to work along together to create success. So I think there's been a misunderstanding that culture is kind of something on the side, but actually it should be completely embedded into the strategy of a company for the long-term success of all stakeholders.
Exactly. It's about making sure that it goes back to that long-term point of it. It's making sure this company can endure. Perhaps.
Yeah, and it's not a fail-safe. It's not necessarily going to be a fail-safe. Mm. But, you're more likely to be more sustainable as a business if you have a much more positive culture.
So, Claire, I think you've fantastically laid out kind of the benefits and why it's so important to have a strong culture. And perhaps our listeners are wondering kind of how, in their company and the companies they invest in, how can these companies develop a strong culture? What is it? What are the steps that they can take?
Well, I think the FRC in their report highlighted a few things that companies can think about in terms of helping them to develop a culture. One of those is connecting purpose and strategy with culture, which we touched on earlier, strategy and culture not being mutually exclusive. Aligning corporate values and incentives. So, that's really just saying that, if a company value is client centricity, then, how is that linked into incentives for employees? Also, designing methods to assess and measure culture. This is still a pretty tricky thing to be doing. Mm-hmm. And I think companies are struggling with this. Investors are struggling with this. But there is definitely a need and an appetite for companies to think about how they can start to gather the data, gather the appropriate metrics that they think really does illustrate what their culture is. And I think communication on all of these things is really critical as well.
Kind of communication both internally with their employees to really make sure they live the company's values, and communication externally with stakeholders and shareholders?
Yeah, absolutely. And again, it goes back to that walking your talk, communicating that what you're saying and what you're doing actually align. And that's just as important internally as it is externally.
Perfect. And what's been your experience in the market for kind of companies who... How many companies are doing this? What have you got any stats we can share with us?
Yeah, well, there's recent stats are out there. 75% of companies actually do set out their values, but only 6% of companies show a KPI on culture, it's really interesting. And that's kind of quite a weird, dichotomy of stats there, that actually 75% of companies really believe that values are important and they set them out quite clearly. But then that doesn't seem to translate into this actually means culture.
Yeah, there's no success metric to say these are important and here's how we've shown they
exactly.
are important.
So how can we be assured that companies are really focused on culture and really trying to develop it? Because you can't just look at culture once and leave it. Yeah. You've got to be looking at it all the time.
Yeah. I'd love to touch on a bit more about kind of the fact that so many companies just have so many values. And I feel like, there's every adjective under the sun could be applied to a company and they just say, well, we're just going to be all of them. But everything that's positive, that's us. That's how we do things. I mean, what's been your experience when you've kind of talked to boards about this proliferation of perhaps company values?
Yeah, and I think something that I've learned doing this work on culture is that there's actually a values paradox or a hierarchy of values that exists. Now, when I was reading into this, actually, a lot of companies don't understand that they've got a hierarchy of values. They're not actually aware of it. Mm. And that really means that if you've got six values, and some companies can have three values, some companies can have six values. And, you look at those and you think, OK, it's, customer focus, innovation, integrity. These, that's just an example of maybe three. But the decisions you make in a company day to day, you're going to be unable to... Mm. bring in all three to every single decision. So actually, if you look at a decision being made in a company, what comes first? Yeah. Is it customer focus? Is it integrity? Or is it innovation? Because you can't marry all three together all of the time. So I think, and this is where companies can look at these paradoxes between their values and this hierarchy to then actually try and push through change. So if they're looking at their culture now and saying, right, you know, we're not happy with our culture. Okay, let's go back to some of the key decisions we're making. Let's see which of those takes precedence in those decisions. So if 100% of the time it's customer focus, then and you want to change your culture, then you need to take that off the table. Not completely, but say, okay, 50 times out of 100, we'll go down the road of customer focus, and then the other 50 times, we'll go down the road of innovation. And that will then help to start to drive your culture in a different direction, if that's what you want and if that's where you want it to go.
It's so interesting that kind of you have to, there is that kind of measurability, there is that data if you actually want to look for it. And you can't treat these as so intangible, ineffable kind of ideas, when actually you can say, look, these are strategic decisions being made at the board level, at the executive level, and they're being made for these reasons. And if they are not aligned with the culture that you want, you profess to want to express, what is it that we can do about it in those terms?
Yeah. And I think, you know, in the past, values have been, you know, at businesses, values have been very much, you know, sort of mission statements and ethics and things like that. And actually values, you know, aren't really about that. Values are how you conduct your business, what you expect your people to illustrate in their behaviours. Do you expect your people to illustrate integrity? Yes, we do. So I think it's important to remember that it's not, they're not sort of fluffy, woolly things. You know, these values should be set out really with a lot of thought behind them, because that is what drives your culture and then it drives your strategy. The two go hand in hand.
And who should be doing that setting out? Is it the board? Is that what you're looking for?
Yeah, it should absolutely come from the top, come from the CEO. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, it should then filter down through the company. It, you know, should filter through the leadership teams, the management teams. And actually, you know, the leadership, so the CEO, should be illustrating those values every day in their behaviours so that people, you know, in the leadership teams and lower throughout the company can look at the CEO and say, OK, that's accepted behaviour, that's not accepted behaviour. So I know where I stand and I know, therefore, the values of my business and the culture of this business that I'm in.
And that comes back to your communication point of making very clear, like, this is what we stand for, this is not what we stand for, and here's how I, as a CEO, say I'm going about my business.
Yeah, it's got to be, I mean, communication's got to be a permanent thing. And you know, it's hard.
Yeah.
But it's such an important thing. Again, you know, communication internally and externally, because you can say that you value X and Y, but if you're not showing that, then someone's going to say, I'm not sure you really do value X and Y, actually.
So on these indicators where you go, are they actually walking the talk? What is it that we can quantify as investors and as the listeners can look for to say, this is a good sign of culture? Is it low turnover? Is it the employee survey scores? What is it that can really kind of inform an investment decision based on culture?
Yeah, and I think, you know, when we're looking at these indicators, it's still there's still a mix of indicators that we would look for. There's not just one. Mm-hmm. And I don't think it's a perfect science yet either. But you're right. It's things like employee turnover. It's things like workplace diversity. It's things like staff training, values training, even what the chair of the board says in their statement, because, you know, that's, again, communication. So it's all these different indicators that we may look for to try to assess a company culture. And I think, you know, being able to, you know, get access to all these different metrics and different indicators will start to drive our thinking as investors on this, so that we can really boil down and probably get a bit more intelligent and sensible around how we can really measure this.
Completely. It's all about bringing that data. And I feel like that's a really strong kind of lesson for these companies who want to show that they've got a good culture. You can point to these things and look, improve your data disclosure and your data transparency in these specific areas. And whether that's whistleblower protection or, you know, as you say, diversity, of which we are getting more and more and better data over the years, then we can say, absolutely, you're right. You say you've got a good culture and the stats back it up. And I think it's the important thing of having that quantifiable evidence.
Yeah, exactly. And there's, you know, there's other sort of behaviours, as much as these indicators, there's other sort of behaviours that companies can show that really will, you know, indicate what their culture looks like. And there's things like, you know, CEO pay cuts if things have gone wrong.
Yep.
That illustrates that, you know, we're all in it together. The awarding of shares to staff to indicate the value of people. The importance of diversity illustrated through how it's driving strategy. Mm-hmm. So as a company, you can't just sort of sit there and say, oh, diversity is really important to us. You know, great, Claire, we think, you know, we're doing really well on the board level and pipeline level of diversity. And yeah. I say, OK, great. But if you're not showing me how that is driving your strategy, then I'm thinking it's just something you're saying rather than embedded into.
Is it a box ticking exercise because they think, oh, yeah. I just want to make this shareholder
yeah.
happy.
And the value of your people, you know, oh, our human capital management is you know, really, really important to us. Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Well, how are you showing us that importance rather than just saying the words?
Yep.
It's, yeah, awarding shares to your people, that sort of thing.
Completely. So take a company who really wants to take that positive step and kind of go beyond that, demonstrating a good example from the top. How can they embed a positive culture in the working day-to-day lives of their employees?
Yeah, I think that's a really interesting question. And some of the strategies to improve culture around communication, leadership development, and also embedding culture into management objectives. So we can think of it as, you know, linking corporate values to personal objectives and financial compensation. We touched on that earlier. You know, it's put it in people's objectives like any other financial objective you would have, because then that it creates focus and what gets measured gets managed. Ensure power dynamics are equitable. So basically providing employees with the means to question and challenge management.
So really kind of that feedback loop
yeah.
for people to question, is this the sort of culture or is this the right sort of behaviour for which I want to be a part of?
Yeah, it's absolutely. I think that's just so important. And to provide employees room to fail as well. You know, if you can't have that room to fail, you're not going to create mm-hmm. An innovative culture or yeah. a culture of growth, because people are not going to necessarily make the right decisions all of the time.
Yeah, no one wants to take a risk where price of failure is you're out.
Yeah. yeah. So, but to push things forward, we have to be able to fail at times. So we need to think about constantly health checking the leadership team and managers.
What does that look like?
Well, I mean, you know, it's you can't take your eye off the ball in terms of mm-hmm. culture. And the CEO has got to be looking yeah. at the behaviours of management at all times.
So it's not just we'd like to improve our culture, this is a 6-month project. It's a very much an ongoing, constant thing.
Yeah, you've got to be really tenacious about it. As soon as you take your eye off the ball, it starts to slide.
Of course.
And where there is misalignment with company purpose and values, the board should hold management and leadership to account. And so, you know, that accountability really, really has mm-hmm. to be there at leadership level, but also the top level.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's where I'm sure shareholder engagement from the likes of investment managers and asset owners really comes in so importantly.
Yeah, because, you know, we're pointing out what we're seeing as the key areas that we want companies to focus on for all stakeholder value.
Completely. And from your experience of having met so many boards, you can really kind of share best practice of what does a strong culture that's truly embedded in the company actually look like?
Yeah, it's like the work we do on diversity. You know, we're always talking to companies to try to help them because, you know, we are, like you say, we are learning from other companies and we can pass that information forward, because there will be some companies that will be farther along on this journey, if I can use that word, than others, because, you know, no one's got it right yet.
No, of course. And ultimately, it's about making sure that it's the health of the market. Like, there's having a strong culture ultimately means the company will do better. And if more companies are doing better, then better returns.
Exactly.
Overall.
I mean, who doesn't want to be involved with a company that's got a great culture?
Yeah.
I mean, everybody.
Exactly. Now, to perhaps turn it to a slightly more pessimistic note of, there are some barriers to cultural change. Of course, you know, there might be willingness from the top to change, but of course there is a reticence to kind of rock the boat in that kind of sense of, oh, this is the way we've always done things. There's a structural inertia. How can companies overcome this kind of reluctance to change?
Again, it goes to ownership at the top. So the CEO and the management teams really, really have to own that culture.
Yep.
And the board should challenge culture as they would any other strategic issue. So if they're really, really seeing something that they're feeling is not quite right, then they should challenge that. I mean, that is their role. Board visibility into culture. So management really does need to provide that information to the board from within the company to enable the board to be accurately assessing culture.
And that comes back to that information, making sure you've got that data that kind of, these are the indicators that we as shareholders, but we as the board might be looking for to say, these are kind of red, amber, green light flags that we need to be looking at?
Yeah, it's the communication part all over again. And when we're thinking about even, you know, employee engagement surveys, I mean, they are an important indicator of culture. They're not the only indicator of culture. But I think, you know, it's important for the board to be aware what the results of that employee engagement looks like, because that can often pull out hotspots within a business of where, you know, culture may be breaking down. I think the board's role needs to be defined as well in terms of cultural oversight. So I think it's got to be quite clearly set out that culture is something that is part of their remit.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so often, I say so often, but I'm sure it is the case in some companies that it's just seen as the province of HR.
Yeah.
And it's become siloed in the business and away from leadership.
Much like diversity.
Yes, of course.
Unfortunately, you know, this is what's tended to happen. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, the companies that do realise that culture and diversity, for example, are and should be embedded into strategy, then it's a boardroom conversation. It should absolutely be on the agenda every single time. And we are seeing more and more companies that are saying, you know, Claire, culture is now on our board agenda for our meetings every single time. And that's really encouraging.
That's very encouraging.
Because you want it to be, even if it's, you know, okay, great, you know, we've done quite a good assessment of culture. We're feeling comfortable with it right now, you know, but let's have a bit of an overview. It doesn't have to be a deep dive every time, but for it to be on the agenda permanently.
At least it's there, and it's something that's there in the front of kind of the director's mind.
Yeah, much like executive compensation is.
A fascinating topic that we have not got time to dive into here.
And I think, you know, establishing a shared vocabulary. I mean, we set out this talk talking about what is culture. And I think until you as a business can understand what that means for you, because it will be different business to business, then I think you can't start to talk about something if you don't really understand what you're talking about. You can't then start to dig into it.
No, absolutely. So I'd love to wrap up this conversation on a slightly more positive note of kind of looking to the future. And it feels like from what you've been saying, that boards are really starting to look at this more. It feels like they perhaps have got a long way to go and no one's quite got it perfect, but who is perfect yet? It's what are you seeing as kind of the bright lights of the future of embedding culture and, you know, making clear that this is such a good indicator of an investable company?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right in terms of nobody's quite there yet. But I'm really encouraged that culture is actually coming up proactively. Mm. So it's not just us talking to companies and saying, you know, can you tell us about your culture? Yeah. You know, when we're having meetings with them, they're actually saying, we'd like to talk to you about strategy and, you know, climate change and culture and human capital management. I mean, the two there are linked, obviously, and diversity. So all of these things they're now understanding. It's not just because it's important to us investors, but they're realizing it's important to them as a company. And it really, really does, you know, completely tap into their strategy, and they can't talk about one without the other. So I'm very positive that companies are now putting it on the agenda, so to speak. But I think there is a much more work to do in terms of all of us, investors and companies, understanding how company culture can be measured and the indicators that really do show that story. But I think we need to get consistency across those indicators so that we can compare company by company. And so investors can then, you know, share conversations and that it's kind of a fair assessment, if you like.
Exactly. It's the quality of the data there and making sure it's you can compare apples to apples.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the intelligence around that is increasing. So I'm really positive that if we all work together, we can get to a great result.
And I think that's a wonderful way to kind of bring that back to the fact that strategy is not mutually exclusive with culture, that both of them feed off of each other in such a big way. And it's great to see boards recognise that a lot more.
Yes, absolutely is. And, you know, that famous saying of culture eats strategy for breakfast. But, you know, the two go hand in hand. And if you look after them both, then, you know, here's to some good stuff happening.
Yes, exactly. You've got a strong position for your business. Well, thank you again for joining us today, Claire. It's always a pleasure.
Thanks so much, Mark.
And thank you for listening. If you'd like to read more about this topic, Claire has put together a guide for investors and company boards called Understanding Corporate Culture, which you can find on our website, and I've linked to it in the episode notes. You can also listen to her on earlier podcast episodes on the importance of gender diversity, which was a fantastic episode. Thank you so much again for listening, and see you again next week for more Elgem Talks. If you've enjoyed listening to this podcast, you can leave us a rating or maybe even a review if you're feeling particularly generous on the Apple Podcasts app. It really helps new listeners to find us, and we're always on the lookouts for new ways we can improve. As a reminder, this podcast is intended for investment professionals and shouldn't be shared with a non-professional audience. This podcast should not be taken as an invitation to deal in legal and general investments. Any views expressed during this recording belong to the individuals and are based on market conditions at the time of recording and do not reflect the views of Legal & General Investment Management. Legal & General Investment Management is authorised and regulated by the Financial Conduct Authority. For full terms and conditions, please visit our website. And remember to share this podcast with your investment professional friends, colleagues, or even family members. And to find more great content from Legal & General Investment Management, check us out on Twitter, LinkedIn, and our website.